tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 10th of March, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I would like to have a look at something which I thought we had actually stopped in Britain, but it seems I was mistaken, and that is the giving of hormone prescriptions of the opposite sex's hormones to under-18s. The article that I've got here comes from GB News, and the headline is NHS halts gender-affirming hormone prescriptions for under-18s. Now, as I say, I thought that the CAS report recommended that this be stopped because there wasn't enough evidence to show that there were any positive outcomes. But that was actually to do with puberty blockers. And the puberty blockers is what a child will go on before they then go on to take cross hormones such as this. So this, it's the actual hormones themselves that they are now banning for under 18. So they're saying that under 18 males will not be prescribed estrogen and under 18 females will not be prescribed testosterone, which, I mean, it just seems to me common sense that you wouldn't give these things to people that weren't actually matured yet, adolescents that hadn't properly been through puberty, start giving them the opposite sex's hormones. I mean, it's really going to mess their bodies up. Well, transgender teenagers will no longer be prescribed testosterone or estrogen on the NHS as part of gender-affirming treatment. And again, because it was being provided on the NHS, it means that they didn't actually have to pay for it. I mean, you could say that if somebody wants to do these things to their body, then that it's cosmetic, really. It's like cosmetic surgery. They're making cosmetic changes to their body. Why should everybody else be forced to pay for that? The NHS has announced it will no longer prescribe testosterone or estrogen to transgender patients under the age of 18, following an extensive clinical review that determined the evidence base was insufficient to justify continued use. And this is really quite interesting because every time they actually take a proper look at items to do with transgenderism, such as giving out puberty blockers or giving out these hormones, they actually find out that there is very little evidence to show that there's actually any positive outcomes that come from it. Activists will point to the high suicide rate, but the high suicide rate comes from people that have actually started changing their body with the cross-sexes hormones. I think what happens is that they're told that they can actually have a sex change and they can actually change their sex, and I think they'll start taking the cross hormones, they'll start having the surgery, and then they'll realise halfway through or at the end of it that actually you can't actually change your sex, and all they've done is left themselves infertile, mutilated, and they still don't pass as the opposite gender because of their hand size or because of their feet size or because of their Adam's apple or because of their hips or any of these numerous other pointers that there are as to whether somebody is male or female. And I think when that sets in, that they've caused themselves all of this damage to their body, I think they then no longer want to live. I don't think this is, it causes help for these people in any way. If you're going to pass yourself off as the opposite gender, I mean, if you're not actually taking the opposite gender's hormones and you can still pass yourself off as the opposite gender, then that's more of a work of art. I mean, that's something that you could say there's a lot of skill that is involved in doing that. And you would just be courteous and polite by referring to them by whatever pronouns that they would like to use. But to take the opposite sex's hormones, it's going to physically mess your body up. And also, it means that there's no longer this element of skill that is involved in doing it. And there always used to be an element of skill that was involved in doing it. That's why people would look at the ones that they have out in India and Asia, and they would remark on how clever they are. It's actually a male, but he's passing himself off as a female. And there were no hormones that were involved. And it's the same with girls that might have an issue with their gender identity, and they might want to present themselves as boys, so they might get a tattooed moustache or something like that, and short hair, and maybe bind their breasts, and then pass themselves off as a boy. And if they were good at doing it, again, it would be like a work of art, and people would be courteous, and they would refer to them by the pronoun that they wished. What they didn't used to do in the past was start taking the opposite gender's hormones. And of course, that's because your body is not meant to be taking these other hormones. If you're male, you're supposed to have a tiny amount of estrogen. And if you're female, you're supposed to have a tiny amount of testosterone. With testosterone for females, it's supposed to be, it's under like, it's 0 point something. Whereas with men, it's to have healthy testosterone is about 30.0. So, and with women, it's under 0.1. So it's a tiny amount that you're supposed to have. And it's the same with estrogen. If you're men, you're only supposed to have a tiny amount of estrogen, not large amounts of estrogen. And one of the reasons for this is that we require these hormones for bone growth and for heart health and for red blood cells and all sorts of other issues to do with the body. It's not just to do with the way that they affect you mentally and character-wise. It's not just that if men start taking estrogen, they might get a bit tearful in the morning. They need testosterone so that their bones don't become really weak and start fracturing. For instance, if you want to put calcium into your bones, you need to have testosterone, and you need calcium, and you need vitamin K2, and you need various other minerals in order to put that calcium into your body. If you don't have the testosterone and you're taking calcium supplements, all that calcium is going to do is it's just going to build up in your blood, and it's going to give you arteriosclerosis. As I say, on top of that, you're also going to start having weak bones that could fracture very easily. You'll get osteoporosis. You'll become osteopenic because you don't have enough testosterone, because estrogen isn't going to fit into the testosterone receptor. The estrogen is going to fit into the estrogen receptors that we already have. As I say, men are supposed to have a small amount of estrogen, so we do have estrogen receptors for them. It's not like if men start taking the estrogen, it fits into the testosterone receptor. That's not how it works. And it's the same with women. They have a tiny little bit of tiny amount of testosterone receptors. And if they start taking lots of testosterone, they'll just fill those receptors up. They won't actually compensate for the estrogen that they need. So people look at this and they say, well, it's all to do with the mental state of mind. If girls start taking testosterone, they might become a little bit hairier. They might become a little bit more aggressive. And they think that that's all it is, that it causes a cosmetic change. But it doesn't. It causes fundamental changes to the body and also to your mode of thinking. And I've been low testosterone for a while. For a good few years, I was low testosterone, and it really, really affected me. I was no longer social. I had no desire to compete. I had no desire to actually be sociable at all. I lost my love of music. I lost the need to rise to a challenge. I lost the difference in taste. I no longer wanted to eat different foods because everything had become bland. I had no appetite for anything. And that was all because I was low testosterone. And these transgenders, or people with gender dysphoria, and they'll stop taking their testosterone, they'll start taking their estrogen, they're going to end up in a situation like that. They won't actually be themselves, because most of us probably don't understand this, because you don't understand these things until you don't actually have them. But testosterone is a really essential component of who you are and the way that you think. And you need it in order to think straight. You also get brain fog. You forget things. Like, I would forget what I was talking about. I'd forget what the thread of a sentence was before I got to the end of the sentence. Again, this was because of being low testosterone. And if these transgenders are going to take estrogen and knock out their testosterone, they're going to be in the same situation. And it's not actually going to be themselves. They're going to be as far away from themselves as they could possibly actually get. That's why I say it is always best if these people that do have gender dysphoria don't take the opposite sex's hormones. Just work on passing yourself off as the opposite sex. Cosmetically do that, because then you won't actually, your character won't actually change. And there's also the fact that if they start taking the opposite sex's hormones, they'll become infertile. They will no longer be interested in sex. I mean, it may be that somebody who is transgender, they may be attracted to their same sex, basically, and that might be a large part of who they are. If they start taking the opposite gender's hormones, they'll have no sexual urges, and they will no longer be interested in the sex that they thought that they were interested in. And all the friendships that they've built up, they're going to fall away because they won't be interested in them anymore. It would cause big changes to the way that people think. And I don't think that is stressed enough in the conversation that people actually have about this. They just concentrate on the cosmetic aspects of it. And of course, in articles like this and medical articles, they might talk about the physical aspects, as I say, about weakening the bones, osteoporosis, that's the main one. But there's also this brain fog and this fundamental changes in character that will occur when you lose your hormones. And the same things happen when you get older as well. When men get older, it used to be from about the age of 60 onwards, now it's from about the age of 50 onwards, the testosterone levels will slowly decrease. And this is why when you see somebody in their 90s, they might have a very high-pitched voice. They'll have all these signs of aging. And a lot of the signs of aging are because you no longer have testosterone. And they get weaker and they no longer have the youthful vigor that they used to have. And it's called the menopause, because it is the same as the menopause. It's just that with men, when their hormones start dropping off, they gradually drop off. Whereas with women, when they have the menopause, suddenly the estrogen just cuts out straight away. So it's like a big drop. And suddenly they don't have their estrogen anymore. And they can become like different people from that as well. And this is part of the natural cycle of a human being. They lose their testosterone or they lose their estrogen. And it causes these big changes. So to force that upon yourself when you are 18 years old or under the age of 18 without any experience of life, you're going to think that that person that you are after doing that is the real you. And it's not the real you. It's the you without the necessary hormones that are fundamental to actually being the real you. Getting back to this article here, Professor James Palmer, a National Medical Director for NHS England, confirmed that the health service had undertaken a comprehensive examination of available research on hormone treatments for gender incongruence and dysphoria. So it looks like they've done a meta study here and they've gone through all the reports and all the studies to come to this decision. He says, this review has established that the available evidence does not support the continued use of masculinizing or feminizing hormones to treat gender incongruence or dysphoria for young people under 18. He stated, well, if it's not right for people under the age of 18, surely it's not going to be helpful for people over the age of 18 either. I mean, there is this issue with puberty, and it's going to interfere with puberty. But even once you have actually passed through puberty, you don't want to be starting to take the opposite gender's hormones for the reasons that I was just outlining. I mean, all of those reasons that I've just come up with, that's as an adult doing it, let alone as somebody under the age of 18, which they've banned here. A public consultation will now commence on removing these treatments as routine interventions for minors. Imagine that, routine. It was just a routine medical procedure to give minors the opposite sex's hormones. It's no wonder these people get a lot of confusion and suffer from confusion. I mean, we've had two or three mass shootings recently that have been carried out by transgenders. And I think a lot of the reasons that could cause that could be the fact that they're taking the opposite sex's hormones. To say it doesn't just affect you cosmetically, it affects you mentally as well. It affects part of your character. And it could well be making these people unbalanced, even more unbalanced than they already are. Cross-sex hormones are administered to individuals who identify as transgender, with estrogen given to those born male and testosterone to those born female, enabling physical changes such as breast development or facial hair growth. I mean, it's very shallow, isn't it, to think that that's all you need. If only you could just grow some hairs on your chin, all your problems would be solved. Or if only I could just grow some breasts on my chest, everything would be fine. And those are just sort of side effects of the sexualized hormones, the sex hormones. That's a side effect of it, is that you might get hair growth or you might get breast development. Far more central to it is the way that it affects your thinking, and the fact that it's needed for bones, it's needed for blood, it's needed for pretty much absolutely everything. It's even needed for your thermostat to keep your body at a regular temperature. This is why when women go through the menopause, they get hot flushes. Men go through them as well. It's quite a horrible feeling. And that's what people that are going to take the opposite sex's hormones are going to be going through. It's not just that it's going to make them grow hairs on their chin. The prescription of such treatments to young people first gained significant attention through the Tavistock Gender Identity Development Service in Northwest London, which ceased operations in 2024. Dr. Hilary Cass, whose landmark review into children's gender services prompted restrictions on puberty blockers, had previously called for extreme caution regarding cross-sex drugs. Now, it's good that she brought this report out, but how long did it take to bring this report out? By the time the report came out, there were thousands of children which had been given these puberty blockers. So, and again, they don't. How can you actually become the person that you're always meant to be if you don't actually go through puberty? You're going to look like an adult. You're going to look like you're over the age of 18 to the people that see you, but in actual fact, mentally, they're still going to be children that never actually went through puberty. How unbalanced is that going to leave somebody? And how could they do any of this without already performing studies on it? And there are no studies. There are no long-term studies. This is what this CAS report said, is that there are no long-term studies on this. There's no evidence that it actually has a positive outcome. Why are we doing this? And as far as giving cross hormones, we should have extreme caution about it. And of course, what we just learned there earlier on is that they weren't using extreme caution. It was the routine procedure was to give these people, these poor people that were with these gender dysphoria, was to just give them the opposite sex's hormones. That was the routine thing to do. Her findings revealed nearly all young people prescribed puberty blockers subsequently progressed to hormone treatments. And that was the other problem with this. They would say, or the activists would say, well, you can always stop taking the puberty blockers and go back to your birth sex hormones. But that isn't what happened. Once people were put on this pathway and they were given puberty blockers, as it said here, nearly all of the people prescribed puberty blockers then went on to hormone treatments, and they went on from the hormone treatments to surgery. So they were effectively saying that puberty blockers are a gateway to mutilating the body, which is the end result of all this. And parents weren't being told that. They weren't being told that all the people that are put on these puberty blockers eventually end up infertile, unable to enjoy sex, castrated, with their parts cut off them. If they were actually told that, then perhaps these parents might not have given consent for their children to go on these puberty blockers in the first place. But this was the argument that was put. is that it's a gateway to surgery, effectively. And that's the reason why this cancer review said that we shouldn't be doing this. And there's no evidence that it has a positive outcome. A positive outcome would be that people no longer wanted to cut bits of their body off, not actually did go and cut bits of their body off. The prohibition on new NHS referrals takes effect with immediate force, though patients already receiving hormone treatment will be permitted to continue their prescriptions. And of course, although it's not the best thing, it has to be done, really, because if somebody has already started taking the opposite sex's hormones, they probably need to take that by then. Their body may have developed more estrogen receptors that are going to need to be filled up. You see, this is an issue. Once people start going on this, it's very difficult to turn back and go back to normal. As you see with the people that took the puberty blockers, they all end up taking cross-sex hormones and pretty much all of them end up having mutilating surgery. Once they've been put on this path, it's very difficult to get off the path. Private healthcare providers remain unaffected by the policy change, creating a potential avenue for those seeking such treatments outside the National Health Service. Why is it private healthcare providers are going to be allowed to continue to do this? Because it means that well-off families will be paying for their children to do this and they'll still be able to get it. Either there's no evidence to show that it's helpful, or there is evidence. And what they say here with this meta-review is that there is no evidence and it shouldn't be done. Yet private doctors can go against the evidence. I mean, it doesn't seem right, does it, that private doctors can just ignore the evidence and give people substances which are going to harm them. Health Secretary Wes Streeting had signalled in May that such restrictions were under consideration. Meanwhile, a separate clinical trial examining puberty blockers has been suspended due to concerns regarding potential long-term biological damage. Now, I'd say, and also psychological damage. But again, we talked about this on Radio Albion as well. Why would they need to be doing a separate clinical trial when they already have thousands of children that they gave puberty blockers to? All they have to do is do a follow-up study with them to see how they are, see whether there's been an improvement. They don't need to give puberty blockers to a whole new cohort of children and then study them. They already have the children that they gave these drugs to, and they can just study them. And it does seem as if our efforts in putting pressure on the government and talking about these issues has caused Wes Streeting to put a pause on that trial. The Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency intervened last month, requesting additional safeguards and proposing a minimum participant age of 14. Now, is that to do with this study? Because, as I say, they've already got people that have taken these drugs, and all they have to do is to investigate them? Or is this to do with taking the opposite gender's hormones? Are they saying there should be a minimum participant age of 14 to take the opposite gender's hormones? I mean, I would have thought taking the opposite gender's hormones at that age is going to cause the same sort of damage that taking puberty blockers would. Dr. Alice Hodkinson, founder of the campaign group Biology in Medicine, welcomed the announcement, whilst cautioning that the dangers do not diminish once a patient reaches adulthood. Cross-sex hormones do not become any less harmful on a patient's 18th birthday, she warned. There is mounting evidence of the long-term adverse effects, which include heart disease, stroke, and early mortality, and also, of course, being asexual, no longer enjoying sex, and being infertile. That's another side effect of taking the opposite sex's hormones. She raised particular concerns about vulnerable individuals obtaining prescription hormones through private channels and EU regulatory gaps, specifically citing access from Spain and Ireland. So I think it is saying there that when the Medicines and Healthcare Regulatory Advisory Agency were asking about this and saying that they want it put in that minimum age of participants have to be 14. I think they were talking about giving them the opposite gender's hormones. That's what they were talking about, not this study. So it means that 14-year-olds up until now have been given the opposite gender's hormones, even by the NHS. And it's only just now that they're stopping that in the NHS. But as I say, they really need to stop it from the private doctors as well. Dr. Hodkinson urged ministers to address these alternative supply routes, including illegal anabolic steroids purchased directly from websites, to safeguard young people from exploitation. And really just to safeguard young people from doing irreversible harm to themselves. And that's the issue here. I'm not sure that they're being exploited like this. I mean, it may be that transgender activists are exploiting them for political reasons. But the real concern here, I would say, is because of the physical, mental and psychological damage that can be done from this. That's why it shouldn't be allowed. And I say I come from this with a point of view of some understanding of it, from having been chronic and acute low testosterone myself for some years. So I know what the effects of not having testosterone are. And I can tell you from experience, it really changes your character. It really changes your way of thinking, and not in a good way, in a negative way. And it could be because of this messing around with these hormones that it leaves people even more unbalanced than they were before, and could be a factor in some of these mass shootings that have been carried out by transgenders recently. One in Canada. There was another one where a father shot up his family at an ice skating rink. There was another school shooting a while back by a transgender student. And a factor in these shootings could be that the shooters themselves were left unbalanced by taking the opposite gender's hormones. I really don't think it is a good thing. If any of our listeners have gender dysphoria or they have problems with this and they want to identify as the opposite gender, as I say, they should do this without the hormones. And then you become somewhat of a work of art, and people will be courteous to you anyway and treat you as if you are part of that the opposite gender. And that's going to be much better for you physically, mentally and psychologically than trying to cosmetically change yourself by taking the opposite sex's hormones. Well, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.